sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Third and final hour here on this Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025 edition. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Got some short little stories here we're going to wrap up the third hour with today. Question was asked, what's on your license plate? Well, the Secretary of State released their numbers for 2025. More than 70%, over 8.31 million of Michigan's motorists have shown the white Pure Michigan design to be their favorite license plate, according to statistics from the Secretary of State's office. There are more than 11.7 million license plates in circulation across the state. 498,744 are personalized, which is only 4.25% of all the plates, and 305,762 have the disability logo on them, which is only 2.6%. The Pure White Michigan plate is the state's basic standard plate, and it only costs $5 and was the first issued in 2013. Its popularity is followed by the blue and yellow Winter Wonderland plate. This is a nostalgic nod to the state's past that was reintroduced back in 2021. 12.9%, more than 1.27 million Michigan motorists prefer the plate that has the multicolor Mackinac Bridge plate. They came in third place. Legacy plates, which cost $55, bring back designs from decades ago that was created by the legislature to raise revenue for the Michigan Transportation Fund. This pays for road construction and repairs across the state. Well, the state began issuing legacy plates in February, the black and white Great Lakes state design having the strongest, earliest interest, issued 58,325 plates. Starting January 2nd, next year, 2026, the red, white, and blue design legacy plate will become available. This is going to be celebrating the nation's 250-year anniversary. Michigan veterans are also honored through specialized plates. They've had 136,371 issued across various military branches of service. Lastly, of the service branches, Army veterans have the most plates, almost 27,000, followed by the Marines at 14,322. Navy veterans come in third place, 13,948, followed by the Air Force at 11,001, and the Coast Guard with 1,225. Universities. Michigan State leads the way with 56,413, followed by University of Michigan at 28,194, Central Michigan 7,450, Western Michigan at 5,919. Interesting little report for the end of the year from Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson regarding our license plates. Short break. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Got on board a westbound 747.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Second segment, hour number three. The show is just moving quickly through today. Emmett County parents will not get a chance to revise their lawsuit challenging their local health department's now defunct 2020 COVID-19 school mask mandate. In a one-sentence order, the Michigan Supreme Court denied concerned parents of Emmett County's appeal, saying it was not persuaded that the question presented should be reviewed by the court, quote, end quote. Well, the group back in November of 2021 filed a lawsuit alleging that the health department unlawfully issued a mask mandate order in August that year, directing local schools to require school children from kindergarten to 12th grade to wear face masks. Parents argued that the mandate was inconsistent with the state statute MCL 333.2451. Where have we heard that statute before? Ian Murphy, the Iron Pig Smokehouse. The statute allows a local health department to issue an order related to incidents of imminent danger, quote unquote, and prohibits certain practices, including corporal punishment, deprivation of basic needs, or restraints. Although the parents acknowledged the mandate was rescinded on February 17, 2022, they argued their lawsuit was not moot. However, Michigan Supreme Court disagreed, as well as the previous courts, the Michigan Court of Appeals and the lower circuit court. They all dismissed the case, and the Michigan Supreme Court will not take it on appeal. So, kind of ties in with Ian Murphy's Court of Appeals decision that he got yesterday. Talked about it on the show in the second hour. Kind of going in that direction. They're kind of wanting to move on, if you will. Well, looking into 2026 already, looking at different various committees and agencies setting up, the Senate Fiscal Agency announced yesterday that the January Consensus Revenue Estimating Conference, the CREC, for 2026 will take place in the House Appropriations Committee Room, 9 a.m. on Friday, January 16th. Catherine Summers, director of the Senate Fiscal Agency, is going to serve as the chair. Other participants will include Marianne Cleary, she is the director of the House Fiscal Agency, and a representative of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration. That will be either the state budget director or the state treasurer. Speaking at this year, next year's 2026 conference, Gabriel Ehrlich and Daniel Manikov, economic professors, as well as members of the Research Seminar in Quantitative Economics at the University of Michigan. They will be presenting on the economic outlook of the United States as well as Michigan, and will be giving state government revenue estimates. Closing out the conference, Justin Wolfers, professor of economics and public policy at the University of Michigan, will be presenting on the economics of artificial intelligence and giving a brief tour on how that technology could be used in analyzing the budget for next year. Kind of interesting to see what numbers they come up with. Let's see. The other story I got real quick, it was a short one. Where did it go? Oh, there it is. The total, absolute total of legislative bills, and we talked about this on yesterday's show, for the year, coming in as the lowest number since the inception of the state. Well, it's kind of interesting because they are looking at different numbers from different committees. And the process, one of the bills that were apparently delayed, not taken up, is going to come back next year. Mark Tisdale, Republican of Rochester, predicts that in 2026, he will have all the pieces put together for final approval on his cell phone school ban. His journey to regulate student cell phone usage in Michigan schools began back in June of 2023. And while the final product will not be one of his holiday gifts this year, Representative Tisdale believes that we will have all the final pieces for final approval. On the Senate side, Senate Education Committee Chair Dana Polhanke, Democrat from Livonia, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, as well as the House Minority Leader Rajiv Puri, are reportedly on board with the new deal. This will ban in-class possession of a cell phone in grades kindergarten through 12th grade during instruction time. A breakthrough came when language was inserted to bring parents on board, Tisdale reported. This additional language will allow, quote, emergency use, end quote, of the cell phone as long as it does not interfere with school emergency policies as well as instruction. In addition, he said students would be able to carry a basic or primary flip phone which is not connected to the internet. Kids today don't have those phones. Only old people do. Most of them, seniors, have had their phones forever and haven't updated them to smartphones. Not connected to the internet. Some of them can't even text message. But this is a provision that would be contained in the new proposed legislation. Another provision will allow school districts to mandate a bell-to-bell ban covering the entire school day. 20 other states are already doing that. Tisdale predicted it will become the gold standard of the country for every building eventually. He called his proposal a step in the right direction and should be a standard adopted statewide. Polhanke, the Democrat in the Senate, confirmed the deal yesterday, adding that Tisdale will sponsor the cell phone ban bill and she will sponsor the emergency use bill. The question at this point, she said, is when will House Speaker Matt Hall be interested in moving the bills? Tisdale said once the bills go up on the board, he's convinced that he will get 100 votes in the House. Well, according to a publication called Campus Safety, 35 states as well as the District of Columbia now have policies regarding banning student cell phone use in K through 12 classrooms. 35 states and Washington, D.C. So we'll follow this bill. We'll see where this goes in 2026. And again, what MERS News Service said, will the speaker, Matt Hall, bring it up? Now, one thing that is very interesting, the House Republicans did not approve administrative work projects. $2.7 billion of our taxpayer money left over while the governor and the House Senate Democrats had plans to spend the entire $2.7 billion. However, the Republicans' House Appropriation Committee denied $644.9 million of those projects. Well, people in Lansing are waiting to see if Governor Gretchen Whitmer attempts to legally challenge the law that the House Appropriations Committee used. Whitmer has said publicly, quietly, she has mentioned that the cuts, since they took place, and Hall, they haven't spoken. Additionally, the governor has not answered any in-state reporters' questions on the work project cuts since they happened 9 days ago. Speaking to the House Speaker, Matt Hall, he said to reporters, "The governor and I have great communication. So typically, if they're going to do something, I think she would have told me by now. However, we haven't spoken." That's one of the things I really compliment her on. When they're going to make a big move, they almost call and tell me in advance. In this case, however, they have not reached out. While the governor has remained quiet on any plans going forward as to whether or not they're going to challenge the statute, Hall has not been quiet. He said the stranger part of the law in question is that the governor, not the legislature and its power of the purse, can extend funding past 1 year. I believe we're on very solid footing. My guess is that the governor's team looked at it and came up with the same conclusion, which is why they haven't said anything to me about challenging it. Meanwhile, Senator Dana Polhanki, Democrat of Livonia, Democrat from Dexter, Senator Sue Schenck, spotlighted how the work project denials are having negative consequences in their districts. The funding was stopped December 10th. Two renovation projects have been halted midstream, according to the senators. For one of the senators speaking, in Inkster, staff at the Dozer Community Center arrived yesterday morning to discover new damage caused by a leaking roof. State funding was meant to help repair that roof and prevent further deterioration of the building. Construction was scheduled to begin on December 15th, but was halted by the House Republican Committee vote. Last week, Thursday night, brought heavy rains, which caused the leaks to begin, and now they're looking at increased risk of mold, structural damage, and possible service disruptions for the residents who live at the center, rely on the center. Polhanki said, "Living close by, we know how much rain we got, and it's amazing how much damage was caused. Our community is devastated, and I'm absolutely furious that my constituents are caught in the direct crossfire of the Republicans' reckless, unconscionable actions." In Jackson, the Hayes Hotel also had weather-related damages due to stopping of construction due to the loss of state funding. Senate Democrats passed the bill to reinstate the spending and are waiting for an opinion from the Attorney General, Dana Nessel. We'll continue to follow this story as well. Final half hour of today's show. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.